listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The thing that unites them as Christian nationalists is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
When the devil comes knocking on the door, I need to be able to turn and say, Lord Jesus, would you mind answering that? Let him confront the devil.
I think the more casual services take us away from that certainty into the experiential realm. And when you live by the experience, you die by the experience. When you live by the feelings, you die by the feelings. And it's a dangerous spiritual place to put people.
The Bible is not a bunch of fortune cookies. It's this grand tapestry with dozens and dozens of beautifully interwoven storylines that we weave together to present Christ to us and Christ for us.
East Tennessee backpackers love listening to Issues Etc. while hiking through the world that our God has made and joining with David in the 8th Psalm by proclaiming, In all the earth, O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name.
The media narrative post Roe v. Wade has kind of crystallized over the last year or so. The narrative is in some ways self-contradictory, but that usually doesn't matter when you're talking about media narratives. One thread is that the overturning of Roe v. Wade was the end of the world, and the other one was it changed nothing. Women are still having just as many abortions. Now, you have to learn to check the details when some group puts out numbers on abortion saying, we're still having just as many abortions post Roe v. Wade. Is it true? You got to find the devil in the details. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 7th of March. We're going to talk about some updated abortion numbers claimed from the Society for Family Planning. Dr. Michael New of the Charlotte Lozier Institute will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Mark Stern. He's an author of a series of columns titled Concordia Ann Arbor, A Response. We'll discuss the financial viability of Concordia University Ann Arbor. Suzanne Venker will be our guest for a conversation on young women, careers, marriage, and family. Then we'll discuss diversity, equity, inclusion, ideology with Dr. Scott Yenner, professor of political science at Boise State University. Joining us for some updated abortion estimates from the Society for Family Planning, Dr. Michael New. He's visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America, senior associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Paige Comstock Cunningham Fellow with Americans United for Life, and a columnist for National Review Online. Dr. New, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
What is the Society of Family Planning, and what has it recently claimed to have found on post-op abortion numbers?
Society of Family Planning is a nonprofit. They support legal abortion. They support contraception. And they've taken it upon themselves to release estimates of the number of abortions that have been performed since the Dobbs decision. And they released some estimates last week. And these estimates claim that the number of abortions performed before the Dobbs decision is about the same as the number performed after the Dobbs decision. In short, they're arguing that the pro-life laws that have been passed really have not had much impact.
What are the methodological flaws in their estimates?
Well, there are several. First, this is a group that really had no real prior experience estimating abortion numbers until the Dobbs decision. That's one thing. Secondly, again, they're trying to look at post-Dobbs data to pre-Dobbs data. And unfortunately, they only have 2 months of abortion data before the Dobbs decision. So they're looking at 14 or 15 months of abortion data after the Dobbs decision, compared to only 2 months of abortion data from before the Dobbs decision. I think they need more than 2 months to really make meaningful comparisons. Another thing they don't really talk much about is that there were some states that were enforcing strong pro-life laws before Dobbs. The Texas Heartbeat Act took effect September of 2021. Oklahoma was enforcing a strong pro-life law before Dobbs. So that makes the abortion declines in these states appear less dramatic and kind of downplays the impact of some of these post-Dobbs pro-life laws.
What are telehealth abortions, and what did the sub-organization, hashtag WeCount, find regarding those?
Yeah, telehealth abortions are those abortions done without an in-person medical exam. These are situations where a woman obtains a chemical abortion pill, and she may have an interface with a physician or a medical professional through Zoom or through some other online interface and obtains an abortion that way. The WeCount estimates found that there's over 10,000 of these telehealth abortions taking place every month. About 1 out of 6 abortions post-Dobbs or telehealth. That's very concerning. We know chemical abortions pose health risks. We know that from a number of studies, they have 4 times the complication rate of surgical abortions. And allowing women to obtain these chemical abortions without an in-person medical exam only increases those health risks. So this is a real issue of concern.
Now, the media have touted some of WeCount's claims. What have they ignored?
Yeah, the media just assumes these estimates at face value. They don't reach out to pro-life people or other groups that might have an interest in estimating abortion numbers. So they've ignored some of the methodological concerns I've talked about. They don't discuss the fact there's only 2 months worth of pre-Dobbs data, which have been estimated. They don't really talk about the fact that Texas and Oklahoma were already enforcing strong pro-life laws before Dobbs. And they also ignore other research, which I'll talk about, showing that pro-life laws actually have been effective at lowering abortions and saving lives.
How have the Dobbs ruling and other pro-life laws seemed to have affected abortion and birth numbers generally?
We have very good data that a lot of recently enacted pro-life laws have actually been very effective at lowering abortion rates and saving lives. The best data we have is from Texas. One good thing about Texas is we can have good birth data from that state. I often tell pro-life audiences that abortions are hard to count because women can go out of state, they can go to other countries, they can self-induce, but babies are pretty easy to count. So if more children are being born after a pro-life law is passed, there's very powerful evidence that the pro-life law is stopping abortions and saving lives. And there's 3 studies, one from the University of Houston, one I did for the Loge Institute, and one that appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which showed that there's been a real increase in the Texas birth rate after the Texas Heartbeat Act took effect. Again, that's strong evidence, the Heartbeat Act, the saving lives. Another study came out from the Institute of Labor Economics in Europe, looked at a wider range of states that enacted strong pro-life laws after Dobbs, and when compared to these states that enacted pro-life laws to states where abortion was legal, it saw a bigger increase in the birth rate in these pro-life states. So again, looking at birth numbers, again, there's very powerful evidence that a lot of the newly enacted pro-life laws are stopping abortions and are saving lives.
Earlier this week, I spoke with Hadley Arkus, and he's the author of the original Born Alive Infants Protection Act. He suggested that post-Dobbs, it's a good strategy to attempt to draw attention to the extreme position of many in the Democratic Party, that is, abortion for all 9 months for any reason, and up to and including the moment of birth, and he contends even after birth, and then making them defend that position as a way of educating the public. What do you think of that strategy?
I think Hadley is a very smart person, and he has an excellent idea. I think the Born Alive Infant Protection Act is a great piece of legislation. I think it really does highlight the extremism of the Democratic Party on this issue. Many Democrats, nearly every congressional Democrat, did not vote in favor of this bill. I think it's just common sense that once a child is born, they should get legal protection, regardless of what one thinks about abortion. Again, I think that promoting this piece of legislation, getting Democrats on the record, I think that's an excellent idea. I think it would highlight the extremism that many Democrat-elected officials have on this issue.
How do we encourage pro-life lawmakers not to shy away from the issue of life in this 2024 election cycle?
You know, first, we need a peacock strategy, not an ostrich strategy. So we don't want to put our heads in the sand. We want to talk about the good work pro-life laws are doing. We want to make good arguments in favor of laws to protect pre-born children. And we also want to kind of highlight the extremism of our opponents. You know, most Americans reject abortions that take place after the first trimester. We want to talk about that. Most Americans support waiting periods and parental involvement laws. We want to talk about that. Most Americans oppose taxpayer funding of abortion. That's something that many Democrats, nearly every Democrat elected official, is on the record for supporting. So, again, highlighting the extremism of the other side, I think, is a great strategy. We need to keep doing that consistently throughout the course of this election cycle.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's senior associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Paige Comstock Cunningham Fellow with Americans United for Life, and a columnist for National Review Online. You can read his columns at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. New, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
We will discuss the financial viability of Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, with Mark Stern right after the break.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Join Lutherans for Life at the For Such a Time as This Lutheran Adoption Conference, April 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Enjoy the testimony and talents of Dove Award-winning musician and adoptee Mark Schultz. Discover expert information and exciting opportunities, and experience the fellowship and celebration. The 2024 Lutheran Adoption Conference, April 10th and 11th in Houston. Find out more and register at lutheransforlife.org/conferences.
Memoria Press is a worldwide leader in the publishing of classical Christian education. We have everything you need for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and our materials can be used in any classroom setting to suit your needs. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 to save $5 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.